welcome everybody to
Talk Radio.
Cause like a winter tonight, I thought I would always have light. The quick eyes that you gave to me, so dark I could barely see, looking for light.
Ready to the Ask Dr. Carlos show. This is Dr. Carlos. It's about 1:30. We had a new time today, 4:30 Eastern time. I appreciate you listening in. If you are out there, if you have any questions, please call us. Our call-in number is 646-929-0749. That's 646-929-0749. Once again, 646-929-0749. So we had a couple questions that were emailed to us during the week about what's going on with certain issues. One of the issues was actually fructose. It was a fascinating one. I posted an article on Instagram, or actually a little comment about how fructose can hinder mental health. And I got an interesting email asking a question about fructose. And the question was, well, is fructose bad in fruit as well? Can I have too much fruit? Or does that mean that fruit is bad? And that was actually a very good question, because fructose is also found in fruit. Now, there are some studies that show that fructose in fruit is actually metabolized a little differently than processed foods or other foods that are using artificial fructose, but you can say it's not coming directly from the fruit. But the real issue is going to be the amount of fructose that you have. See, the American diets are inundated with fructose in almost every product, whether it's bread to juices, especially juices, they have a lot. To obviously desserts, pastries, syrups, anything like that will have a high content amount of fructose, which can cause havoc on your chemicals inside your brain. So we have to be really careful with that. The amount of fructose in fruits is very minimal. So I really wouldn't concern myself when it comes to fruits. You have to either have a lot of fruits, especially sweet fruits like bananas, strawberries, anything like that, they have a high amount of fructose, but the quantity would be so overwhelming, you wouldn't do it anyway. So I really wouldn't worry too much about the fructose inside fruits. You'll be fine. So that answers that question. We thank you very much for sending that in to us. We always want to make sure we're clear when we post things. Another question we had was in regards to getting out of a bad relationship. Many of us have found ourselves in a bad relationship, and I'm talking more than just a typical relationship, maybe somebody who doesn't listen to you or you don't have the same interests, maybe not compatible. I'm talking more about a relationship, either dealing with alcoholism or drug addiction, something that really is harming to the person. It could endanger their life or life of someone they know. The email we received was by an individual who has a relationship with somebody now for a couple of years, their boyfriend. The boyfriend has an alcohol problem and can be verbally and physically abusive at times. The woman has a five-year-old child, and she feels trapped. She feels like she can't get out of the relationship. And one of the things we talked about when I spoke with the woman is that you really have to protect your child, and you have to protect yourself. And this is not a relationship that's beneficial for either one of you. You have to get out of it. Unfortunately, there's not really any dancing around you can do with this. You have to protect yourself as well as your child, as I mentioned. You have to end the relationship. The reason she doesn't want to is really she's attached herself to it. She's attached herself to self-worth, her self-confidence. Everything is attached to the other person. And she feels that she separates from that person, she won't be worth anything anymore. There's nothing special about her. She's really afraid. She has low self-esteem. But what we have to try to do, what I would try to tell her she has to do, is try to build that self-esteem by identifying why she is special. And one of the greatest ways that we've always found when I've worked with clients and consulting them is to write down every day for 21 days one or two things that are special about you, something you like about yourself. And I'll admit, after the first 4 or 5 days, it gets a little harder. You have to start really digging and start looking for things that you like about yourself. Initially, it's always easy. I'm attractive, I'm funny, whatever it may be, I'm a nice person. But then day after day, when those easy ones get out of the way, you really have to start digging. And that's when the real work starts to get done. Because one thing you have to remember, you're repeating these things every day, reminding yourself of why you're special, why you're different, and why that's good. It's good to be different. It's good to be the same, but it has to be positive and it has to be edifying to you. But you write these daily personal affirmations for 21 days at least. The reason we say 21 days is because most habits are developed in 21 days. Of course, it varies upon the habit. I mean, it could be something like you want to eat chocolate every day at 2 o'clock. Well, that's a very easy habit to do, especially if you like chocolate. But if you want to have spinach every morning at 5:30 in the morning, that might be harder, especially if you don't like spinach. It might take a little longer than 21 days. But in this case, writing down positive affirmations about yourself, what you like about yourself, you write that for at least 21 days, optimally about 30, you're really going to have it ingrained in your head. And you're going to read the ones that you wrote the days before. So the first couple of weeks of positive affirmations and qualities that you like about yourself will really become ingrained, be part of you. Your self-confidence will go up. Your self-esteem will go up. It'll really change you in your life. There's no doubt about that. So there's tip number one, is really write down things that you like about yourself. Tip number two, contact your closest friends or family members, people that you really like and trust, and ask them to do you a favor. Write down four or five things you really like about me. This is a great exercise because you're going to see it from a different perspective. One caveat is you want to make sure when you do ask your friends and family, never to put a but or however in it, just to put five qualities they like about you. Because nothing can be more demoralizing than having somebody say, you're a wonderful person, you're so sweet, but, you know, you get taken advantage of, that they're gullible. You don't want those involved. That's not going to edify you. It's not going to make you feel better. You can have the criticisms later in a separate time, but I'm not saying ignore them altogether. But you can't have those at a separate time. Right now we're trying to build the confidence level up, get your self-worth up, and your self-esteem. So you get them to write five things, just positive things about you, things that they've noticed about you, they like about you. Whatever it may be, it could be as simple as your appearance, as buying shoes, you have a good taste in clothes. All these things start adding up. And then the third and final tip, what we like to do is recommend people to write down one thing they're grateful for every day. And once again, this is interesting because it becomes more of a challenge after a few weeks, trying to look for things that you're grateful for. It's not very simple. They'll start looking around going, oh, you know, what am I grateful for? But first, of course, is easy. I'm grateful for my children. I'm grateful for my spouse. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my job. And every day you write that. But your mind will start changing. And believe it or not, even the neurons in your brain will be more activated in the positive sense and less activated in the negative. You can actually change your brain organically by repeating these over and over again. And it takes time. I'm not saying in 2 or 3 days you're going to be this happy-go-lucky person full of confidence. But you're going to have more confidence than you did initially. And you really should be honest with yourself. You should probably rate your confidence level and rate your self-worth level, maybe on a scale of between 1 to 100. Get a good range going. Write it down somewhere. Don't look at it. Just write it down the day before you start the exercise. And then when you're done in 21 days or 4 weeks, write it down again. Write down the number in a separate piece of paper and then compare them. You want to keep it secret so your mind doesn't go back and doesn't have a kind of an anchoring position. So you want to make sure they're separate. That really, really give you an idea. Most of the clients that we have immediately see a drastic difference, 20, 30, 40% higher scores. So if you have a score of maybe out of 1 out of 100, one thing, you have no self-worth, no self-confidence, 100 meaning you are the most confident person in the world. We've had clients that are starting off at 20 or 30. By the time they're done in 4 weeks, they're in their 60s and 70s, which is a great range. That's great change. That person's totally different. That's a person that is going to try to pursue things in life and really try to make a difference. Hey, we got about 20 minutes left on this 30-minute show today, a little less than 20 minutes, actually. And our call-in number is 646-929-0749. Once again, that's 646-929-0749. It's 1:30. It's 1:40 Pacific time, 4:40 Eastern time. We're going to take a quick break here and listen to a little bit of music, and we'll be right back.
Cause like a winter
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that song. It's Rebecca Jade. It's a wonderful singer that we had interviewed on one of our other shows. We call the Circle of Insight, which you can find us on Spreaker and TherapyCable.com, where we interview guests and look for different avenues of human behavior, different ways it's portrayed, looking at it in different environments. She's a singer. Her song is The Cold Factors, her CD's name, Rebecca Jade, J-A-D-E. Want to learn more about her and her music. We're back on the show. It's funny, we're not getting a lot of calls, but we are getting a lot of emails. So we have another question here. This is a question that this person wants to have more sexual intimacy with their partner. They've been married for over 20 years. He wants to have it at least once a week. The partner is right now at about once every 3 to 4 weeks. That's what the partner is having right now. So we talked a little bit about this. After the email, we ended up talking a little bit after I contacted him, and we communicated, and what we found out was that he was having sexual intimacy with his partner for about 7 years once a week. Actually, it was happening, which is very good, especially for a 20-year-plus marriage. But he wasn't sure if this was, A, normal for him to continue to want it because it had not been going on for the last 9 months. And he wanted to know if it was normal for him to continue to want that, which of course it is. Everybody's sexual appetite is a little different. Some people want it more frequently, some people don't. And that's something you have to reconcile in a relationship. So anyway, we talked a little bit more about that, and we found out that what happened was it seems that it was painful for her. It was hurting her. So we recommended that, of course, that he go see a doctor and find out if there's anything or he can do physically there to try to help her. She actually did want to have more sexual intimacy. It was just unfortunate that it was a physiological issue going on. But see, what happened here, the moral of the story was there wasn't a lot of communication between the husband and the wife. This problem has been going on for a few months where he was only having sex once every 3 to 4 weeks. He wanted to have it more frequently, but he was getting denied. She was kind of evading any sexual attempts, and he wasn't watching those and listening really for the cues that are going on or watching for cues. So one of the cues would have been, well, why does she keep evading? And, you know, it's a delicate situation. I completely understand. It's not a very easy one to confront somebody, even if you've been with them for 20 years. But you really want to be able to talk to them and ask them. You need to express your feelings. On Spreaker.com, we have a Ask Dr. Carlos Mental Health Insights, and our episode this week was emotional freedom. And that's really important. One of the aspects of emotional freedom is being able to express yourself freely without worry of criticism, without worry of being made fun of or humiliation, especially if it's somebody you love. You're not going to get that most of the time. And if you are, then you have to express once again your freedom and tell them how you feel. In this situation, what he needed to do is really talk to his wife, which he did, and ask her, what's going on? Is there something I can do for you? And she said, well, I really do want to have it. It's just that I'm hurting. So he continued the conversation. We recommended that he go see a doctor, which they are. And that's how that story ended. We're going to find out, hopefully, in the upcoming weeks and see how she's doing and how he's doing, and hopefully they'll reconcile. But see, if nothing had ever happened, a lot of things can go wrong. And could have been an affair that could have happened. He could have looked elsewhere for the sexual gratification. It could have been resentment, bitterness. There's a lot of things that can backfire on that. So you have to really be careful. It's not something you can just hide under the rug or think, oh, maybe tomorrow something will happen, some magic dust from Cinderella will come in and change the whole scenario. It's really important to communicate your feelings to one another and to anybody, whether it's your significant other or not. A lot of times it's really good to be able to share what you're thinking and feeling. Of course, at the appropriate time. You don't want to do this with your boss in the room when you've made a mistake. You have to be careful what you say to him on that. So that was an email we received. We actually just received right now another email from another person. So let's find out what this one says. She says she's having a hard time with her mother. Her mother is not always responsive. She wonders why her mother always tries to take over her life. She doesn't seem to want to let go. So let's see here. We're going to email her back and find out. That's all she really gave. Let's see if it goes very much here. So let's see here. We're going to ask her how long she's been with her mother. How long has this been going on? Okay, so let's see here what she says. So we're going to find out. This is one of the issues we talked about last week, too. Codependency is a big problem. Okay, so she's responding back. It's actually not email. I apologize for that, or chat line. She is saying here that this has been going on for the last 3 years. Ever since she divorced from her father, when her mother got divorced from her father. So we can tell right now the mother has probably obviously lost somebody, her father, her husband, in the divorce. So now she has this vacuum or this hole in her life that she's trying to fill it up. So she's obviously going to her daughter to try to fill up that need. And this is really stressful for the daughter because she might not be able to right now find out how old she is. She's 22 years old, so yeah, she's got her life going right now. She's graduated college. She's trying to find out who she is and what life is all about. And this is a challenging time for both of them. So I completely understand that. That's not a very easy game. So what I would recommend there is to sit down with your mom and talk to her and let her know how you're feeling. Once again, telling her, look, this is all a huge burden. But first you really want to do is tell her you understand where she's coming from. You understand this is a tough time for her as well as for the family. But right now in your time in your life, you really can't dedicate a whole lot of time. And you don't want to be controlled and micromanaged in your life. So what you want to do is try to find something that can work for both of you. Schedule times together. Try to create boundaries. So you want to be really clear on your boundaries, so she understands what's going on. The other thing you want to do is to make sure you schedule times with her to meet. Maybe it's every Sunday, every other Sunday, whatever it is. Find a time to meet for lunch. You can chat, and it's consistent. It's very important right now for your mom. That consistency can really bring some peace and calm to her. The anxiety levels right now are really high because of uncertainty. She doesn't know who she is. She doesn't know what's going to happen. And she needs that certainty, that consistency. So I'd highly recommend that. The other thing you can do is help her boost her confidence. Give her those exercises we mentioned earlier. Have her write down every day something she feels special, feels good about herself, something she likes about herself. Write down every day something she's grateful about. These are important things. You can really boost her self-confidence and her self-worth, which then she'll start not needing to be able to fill that hole as much because the hole is smaller. So she's not going to need you to do that. So hopefully that will help that relationship out. Listen, everyone, we got about 10 minutes left. We haven't had any calls yet. We're still waiting. We've got two emails so far on the show. But we appreciate those. That all works out. We got about a little less than 10 minutes. We're going to go ahead and play some music, take a break, and we'll come right back. So call in. Our number is 646-929-0749. 646-929-0749. Cause like a winter. Bye. Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that song as much as I did. Once again, it's Rebecca Jade, and the album is called And the Cold Fact. So you definitely want to catch that if you like her music, which I do. I love it. So we're back on today. We talked a little bit about today is fructose. Where is it? It can be found in fruits. It can be found in a lot of our processed foods. But is it bad in fruit? Well, we find out it really isn't. It's really about quantity, and fruits do not contain that much fructose. I mean, if you're really worried about it, you can steer away from some of the sweeter fruits, such as bananas. The other thing we talked about is getting out of a bad relationship. You really have to get out of a relationship that hinders you, especially occupationally, if it affects your work, socially, if it affects your social life, or health-wise. Does it endanger you or anybody you love? For instance, the lady we spoke about earlier has a hard time getting out of a relationship from an alcoholic. It's really not getting out of the relationship. It's really her need for self-worth and self-confidence. She doesn't have that. She doesn't have the approval. So once you build that up with those exercises that are recommended, writing down a note every day, one little quality that you love about yourself, write something down about gratitude, what you're grateful about every day for 21 days, both of those. So every day for 21 days, a minimum, you want to write down something you like about yourself and something you're grateful for. And in addition, if you can, get a friend or a family member to write down 5 qualities that they like about you. These things will really start building up your self-confidence as well as your self-worth. You also might want to do is look for risks. Risk is another thing that you can really do, and we'll talk about that in the upcoming weeks. You can find our Mental Health Insight show, Ask Dr. Carlos, on Spreaker.com. But we're going to probably talk about that here as well in the Ask Dr. Carlos show, taking risks and how that can really help your life too. And then finally, we also talked about the issue with the – actually, we talked about 2 other issues. We got 2 emails, one about sexual relationships, in regards to wanting it more, differences in sexual appetite for sexual needs, as well as mother and daughter issues, mother being too clingy, as you could say, too much, demanding too much from the daughter, demanding too much time, and the daughter not being able to express herself. But that's the moral of the story, I guess, for today. It's really being able to express yourself, to free yourself, liberate yourself emotionally by sharing that with people, telling them how you feel in a polite and kind way, never attacking them. And that's what we'll leave you off with today's show, is making sure when you do tell people something that you don't like that they're doing, speak about the action and don't criticize the person. So you can say something like, you know, I really don't like it. I don't like being told to do this in this fashion. Or I don't like being told to clean up in a hostile voice. You know, you're always, I made a mistake there. So you want to make sure you tell people, you don't like being told to clean this up. I don't like people telling me to clean this up or do this, do that. That's kind of the action. You want to steer away from saying, I don't like it when you say this. I don't like it when this happens, is what you want to really phrase it as. I don't like it when this happens, and it really hurts me inside. Is there another way we can do this? Or another way it can be said. What you really want to take out is the personalization aspect. You don't want to say, listen, I don't like the way you tell me this and this and this. You don't understand me. Because now we're getting attacked. We're attacking the person and becoming derogative, using a lot of pejorative comments. You don't want to do that. What you really want to do is focus on the action. I don't like when this happens. Tell them how it feels. This is what it makes me feel like. I feel hurt. I feel I feel unappreciated. And then you find out a solution for it. Can it be done this way? I'd rather have it done this way. I'd rather have somebody say, can you please help me with this, instead of saying, do this for me. So these are little tips. I'll clarify that more on the next show. But we're going to go ahead and call it right now. It's about 1:55. We thank you so much if you're out there listening to us. This was the Ask Dr. Carlos show. Thank you for your emails again. Once again, our call-in number is 646-929-0749. We've got 40 seconds left. If you want to get a quick call-in, do it now. If not, you can catch us again next Monday. That's going to be June 29th at our regular time, 1 o'clock Pacific time, 4 o'clock Eastern time. We will be having a new time, probably in late July as the show continues to grow. Right now, it will be 1 o'clock Pacific time on June 29th, Monday. So tell us your problems, see what we can do to help. We want to help you. All right, everyone, this is the Ask Dr. Carlos Show, Changing Lives. Remember, our motto is simple. We wish you all a good mental health.